Well, here we are. Thanksgiving Day has passed. The focus on Christmas greets, if not confronts us, everywhere in our culture, in the stores, on the radio, on the TV. In fact, this really started after Halloween, didn't it? The intensity of the push toward Christmas is in large part, as we all know, fueled by businesses needing to sell merchandise at this time of year so as to succeed financially. Some of this is fun for us, even helpful. Some of it is necessary for us who work in retail or running a business of our own. But sometimes it can be a bit much. The busyness and the materialism of the holiday season can take over. We want to hold on to the spiritual part of this time in preparation for Christmas. How can we prepare for the holy day? One way to hold on to the spiritual dimension is to focus on Advent. Here at church and in our journey with Christ, we begin this season today. Advent means the coming or the arrival. This time is about preparing for Christmas, to once again welcome and celebrate the birth of Jesus, God with us, God coming to be with us, the arrival of our Savior. We are also focused by our readings and our opening prayer on the second coming, the belief that there will be a time when Christ will come again with power and great glory, and that all that is not of God's desire for us and all creation will be put right. We have prayed that we might put away the works of darkness and put on the armor of light, so that we might be ready to welcome the coming of God's reign in its fullness. Advent is a time to be aware, to be alert to God and what is of God in our lives now, and how we desire to know God more deeply and serve God more fully. If people unfamiliar with our traditions came to church today, they might be confused by the gospel reading. What does any of that have to do with Christmas, they might ask. And we heard about that day and hour no one knows. Then two will be in the field, one will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together. One will be taken and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. Intense. What does this have to do with reindeer? And if one is new to the Episcopal Church, one might not have expected this apocalyptic reading with reference to what is a relatively recent interpretation of what's become known as the rapture, this idea, this concept invented in the late 19th century, early 20th century. How do we as Episcopalians understand these readings from the Bible? What is God's message for us? Those who focused on the rapture have often dampened my enthusiasm for the whole idea of the second coming, along with many I've known in the Episcopal Church. Some of you may be here to get away from this sort of thing, this sort of talk, this sort of emphasis. Seeing bumper stickers that say, "Warning, car will be unmanned in the event of rapture." Who can take that seriously? Some do, of course. And with the internet, there's more fun to be had. I've heard of a site where you can sign up to have email sent to your family and friends if you're taken up in the rapture. Yes. But how would you know who to send the email to? I guess I'd have to send it to everyone in my address book. But my favorite site of all is the one set up by a self-proclaimed atheist or atheists who, for a monthly fee starting now, will take care of your pets when you're gone owing to the rapture. In the question and answer section on this website, those offering the service were asked how they could offer this being atheists, and they replied that they respect everyone's right to believe in the rapture even though they do not. Recently, I went back to this site within the last 6 months, and recently they've discontinued this service owing to a lack of interest, and this may be a good sign for our society in general. Put off from thinking about the second coming as I may be by the left behind crowd. As a Christian, we are called to think about it during this season of Advent. David Bartlett, in his commentary on today's gospel reading, states that those Christians who are agnostic about last things are tempted to fall into a state of perpetual apathy about such things, and that those Christians who are focused on the last things are tempted to fall into a state of perpetual anxiety. Our passage encourages faith rather than apathy and hope rather than anxiety. Bartlett goes on to note that in this passage, it calls us to take seriously that we are God's people. Maybe these are some messages for us to hear today. We are God's people. That God created history and that the history in which we live is God's story. We are kept from anxiety by the reminder that we're not to focus on timetables or details about which no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father, as the Gospel states. Rather, we are called to live in the light of Christ, who has come into the world and continues to come every day in the goodness of those who act in Christ's name. As Bartlett puts it, one major function of our apocalyptic text is to remind us to keep awake. Faith, hope, and memory all draw us toward Christian responsibility. We respond to the God who acted in Jesus Christ, who acts now, and who will act in the consummation of history. All this causes me to think, perhaps this reading from Matthew focuses us on this ongoing involvement of God in history. That this is a good reminder as we prepare to celebrate Christmas that we are not deists. That we do not believe that God just acted once or maybe a few times, maybe a modified deist, and then left us to our own devices, but that God continues to act in history. That the goodness and love of God moves us forward to a future filled with hope and grace. Perhaps this helps us to remember that Christmas is not simply a one-time event in the past, but the start of God's life with us in a special, special way, which continues in creative and surprising ways. Perhaps this helps us to remember. And I suppose this is a message I'd really like to give to those who are not here today but might be with us on Christmas. Perhaps this helps us to remember that our celebration of Christmas this year will not be like going to a museum to see an annual exhibit, but more like going to the birthday party of the most important person in our lives. Not a once-a-year event, but an important day in our ongoing life together. The gospel's imperative to keep awake is good direction for us living in our time with all the busyness and materialism. We can keep awake and stay alert to the movement of the Spirit in our hearts and minds this Advent season. There is beauty and joy in the Advent season that awaits the birth of Jesus, the Christ, God with us. Every year it can be fresh for us. For Christ is born, and we'll celebrate it in a few weeks, will be born again to us who are different people, different than we were a year ago. Things have happened. Times have changed. We wait with an awareness that this Christmas will be different and that God will come to us where we are now, light being born to us, fresh, creative. The light increases throughout Advent as we light one more candle on our Advent wreath each year, each week. The light increasing on the wreath speaks to us of the great light which came into the world with the birth of Christ. It is renewed in us each year at Christmas as we remember this birth and welcome Jesus God with us. The light of Christ, which came into the world and continues to shine, helps us to see things as they truly are, to see God at work in our lives and in our communities. The light of Christ shines on our path and shows us the way. Advent is also the official start of the new church year. This is a new year for us, for Holy Comforter, for our church, a new beginning. During this Advent season, may we be alert, awake, and aware as we prepare to welcome and celebrate the way, the ways, Christ will be born to us anew. Amen.